Unless he reads it, I mean, it doesn't matter to me as long as we're on the same page.
Okay.
Okay. I mentioned we like the calendar. Okay. And we talked about that for that page.
Let us begin our evening service tonight. We are glad you're here. We just have to sing in the people who have not yet arrived. Let's turn to hymn number 840, the same one that the pianist been playing a moment ago. 840, what a day that will be. Topic of our hymns tonight will be the second coming and the coming of Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing. 840.
There is coming a day when the perfect shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. God sees forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, he's the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, let there be. forever to be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And the one is faced, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Praise the Lord, what a wonderful day it's going to be when we, Jesus, have the angels on the trumpet and we are called up to meet him in the air. A wonderful day. When is it going to be? It won't be next year, this year, but only God knows. Let's pause for prayer this time. Brother John, can you open us in prayer, please?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you and praise you for this wonderful, beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for giving us life and also providing life eternal for us.
Amen.
The gift that your Son, Jesus Christ, has bestowed upon us by dying on that cross of Calvary, Lord, and shedding his blood. We pray that we can reach out to this community around us and throughout the world as well, Lord, with the gospel message to the various different ministries, Lord, that you lay upon our hearts, that we can share that message with others and they will come to know your Son as well. Accept that gift. Your word tells us that your will is that none will die and go to hell, but we know that in the end, some will, many will, because they reject your Son. Lord, we ask that you be with the service tonight, Anthony. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us and fill each and every of us here tonight, Lord, as the gospel message is presented, Lord. We open up your word and see what you have to tell us about how we're to live and deal with situations in our lives, Lord, and what you have to tell us about other things as well, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the pastor as that your Holy Spirit guide and direct him in bringing that message to us, Lord. It's what you know that we need in this congregation today, Lord. Father, we ask for these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and let us continue a good singing as we turn back in our hymn books to page number 801. How great thou art. And sing for second and last verses of this hymn, 801.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the world thy hands are made, I've seen the sun, I heard the rolling thunder, I brought throughout the universe his praise, and sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, and sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest trees I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brooks and feel a gentle breeze, and sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Number 4.
When Christ shall come, we shall come back from nation, take me home, for joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and dare to claim my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Good singing. Praise the Lord when that day comes. Let's go again to hymn number 617. 617. First, second, and last verses.
When Jesus comes to glory, is the world, whether it be known or not, faithful to Him will He find us watching with the trend and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say we find you and me still waiting, waiting, when the Lord shall come. If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, the well done. Oh, can we say blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in His glory they shall share. If He shall come in the dawn of midnight, will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul at home? Say,
at this time for the announcements, and then we will come back to singing and open for testimonies. Many more.
Amen. All right. Welcome to Northfield Baptist Church tonight. We are glad that you are here with us. Does anybody need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to have a visitor with us tonight. We want to welcome Sister Basso. I didn't catch her first name. Joanne, okay. Joanne Basso. She's one of Gino's cousins. And we're glad to have her with us here today. Gino's uncle is now a pastor down in Rio Grande. Grace Baptist Church, right? Down in Rio Grande. And he was a pastor in Philadelphia for many years. Now he's down there. So appreciate Joanne, Sister Joanne, coming here with us tonight. Although it was not too much her she didn't want to necessarily be stranded up here, but her car is stranding her in this situation. So let us pray that Sister Joanne can get her tire fixed up. It's making noise right now, and so let's pray that she can get home tonight and back here tomorrow to get it looked at. Just by way of announcements, we want to mention we have our study of Nehemiah tonight. Then Julia Rivera is graduating high school. We're going to have a luncheon for her June 10th. Next Sunday we have Brother Joe Kaiser with us, from who's an evangelist, travels around and encourages Baptist churches in building and also in just preaching revival services. So he'll be coming next Sunday to preach a revival message for us in Sunday morning, in Sunday school and morning service. So let us come and hear him and bring a friend out with you so they can come and be encouraged in the Lord. Then our Memorial Day picnic is Monday, May 28th, next Monday already. And the other announcements are on here. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? We do have a brief deacons meeting tonight right after church. So we'll go ahead and meet there. All right, pray also for our van ministry as we reach out with our vans. Pray for God to provide the funds necessary as well as the monies to meet our weekly budget, that God would multiply our monies. And let's hear some good testimonies tonight. We want to hear what God is doing in your life and share with us. And also request a song. We have two hymn books to pick from tonight. We have the blue one as well as the red one. So pick out your favorite song tonight. Let us ask our ushers to come at this time as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God, that God may take our gifts and multiply them, that He knows who we have in our church. He knows our jobs and all of those financial details. Let us ask Him to multiply our monies. Let us bow together in prayer.
Father God, we thank You once again for the open doors of this church. We thank You for the way You have been faithful and sustenance to this work ever since any of us can really remember.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord, for the way that You have continued to meet needs. Amen. But we know now we're put on notice that as we would seek to make a larger footprint in the community for You, that there are additional expenses that are coming into our attention, which we might not be used to from seeing them before. And we just ask, Lord, that You would raise Your provision to meet these things. And by the same token, keep each of us faithful to You in the manner of our giving, since this is the formula that You have given us for Your economy. And we thank You so much for it. And we just need to continue to give as those who are thankful. Just ask, Lord, that You would bless and multiply each gift as well as each giver, and that You would suit a blessing to each one as we seek Your face in the manner of our giving this night. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
This time go to Curse Books. There should be one right in front of you under your chair. The Curse Books, and to page number 67. 67, Lovest of Me. Now for this course, we're open for testimonies or your special song, what God has done for you this week, past week.
I don't have music.
You don't have music, Pastor Rice? Okay. I think we need your music for this song.
Which one is it?
67, Lovest of Me. But a time that brought the many comfort, people living right by love to me. But the Master still asks this question: Lovest of me, lovest of me more than thee. Lovest of me more than thee, my child. What would my answer be? Your precious Lord, I love you than all of these. More than wealth, more than fame, more than the world. All right, let's stop at this point, and you open for testimonies. Who would like to be first to share the blessings from the Lord in the past week or even today? I'd like to be number one. Someone? Can I see a hand? No one. The second little chorus of this song, we'll pass the left. So let's go to another song, page 81. I think, Tricia, you're not at one. 81. And by then, someone will think up of another song, another hymn, testimony. 81. The bottom part of 81, remind me, dear Lord. Page number 81 in the chorus books. You got one, Tricia? No, you don't have one either? Okay. All right, Pastor, you can do one. You on it? Sing the chorus verse and the chorus, only then you open for testimonies.
Start.
The things of this song. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, I just bow to, they're not mine at all. Jesus led me through, right in my life, to remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory, love and death. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been.
Just remember
and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Amen. I'll be open again for testimonies. Those who have a blessing. Those who have a promise, have a sound. 651 in the blue book. 651. Pastor, did you move the blue book? Amen. I think you left another book. Okay, we have a story to tell to the nation. The first verse and chorus, then we open again. We have a story to tell to the nation. That shall turn up all through the world. Our story of truth and mercy. Our story. And love, story of peace and love, darkness and love, when shaking shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and love. I guess we're ready to start. Sure, go right ahead.
I'm saying for that next Sunday, I get to see my brother Houston.
Okay. First of all, he's coming up. Driving or flying?
He's flying.
He's flying. Okay, so hopefully you have a safe flight. Okay. Someone else with a blessing. Go ahead.
I'm thankful how God foresees and how God provides. Oftentimes, He already has a map laid out for us, and in this instance, for Holly, my husband mentioned this morning that she was going to need some certain oral care. This is oral care that we were not able to get the right kind of care with our insurance due to limited doctors and the doctors not really wanting to help her teeth in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for my husband's stepdad, who was like he wanted her to be there at a certain time after his job hours, so he could go in the office and take a look and get her started on some work. But it's a huge blessing because we actually learned that she actually has an adult tooth that has been lodged underneath, and the adults here weren't going to do anything about it, and the other two adult teeth have already moved in and closed the gap. So he's able to do work that will help her to naturally be in the space rather than just her and go through multiple surgeries and things like that. So I'm thankful for God watching out for her.
Providing the need right on time, right? And have the right persons and at the right place. We thank God for the great God we serve, who promises to meet our needs, supply our needs. Some of us, with a blessing from the past week, even today. Anyone else? With a song.
Right, song, it's 351.
What page?
351.
351. All right, 351, one verse in the chorus, then we open for more requests. Got it? John, you have a want to say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us.
To pray for our new neighbor that we just met.
Okay. Do you know her name?
All we know about is Richard.
Okay, Richard. All right. Perfect. Hey, Richard, do you know if he's saved? Not?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Anyone else? We have about 2.5 minutes. Go ahead, Jim.
She said, by the second week of June, mm-hmm. on Sunday, she walked and she come on here.
Okay.
Oh, amen.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Someone else? Okay, go ahead.
Thankful to be here.
Amen.
What? What page?
She said, I'm thankful to be here.
Oh, man. Praise the Lord. We are glad we have you here. We're glad we have each, everyone here at this time. All right. Go ahead, Carol.
Needless to say, I praise the Lord that Roy was able to come with me today. It's been a challenge, and sometimes I think it's a challenge for me, but then I look at what he's going through, and it's even more of a challenge for him. Mm-hmm. So I just praise the Lord for the power and the privilege of prayer. I know many here, as well as other places, are praying, and it's that power that's not only just getting us through, but getting us through victoriously.
Amen.
So I am thankful, and I do praise the Lord.
All right. Someone else with a blessing. Okay, go ahead. Amen. 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 We're glad to have you here, and we thank God he answers prayer.
Amen.
God, and he promises we'll answer. All right. We have just about 1.5 minutes. Anyone else want to take up a minute? A song, a testimony? John, okay.
I praise the Lord that even though I had the last few days, including today, my blood pressure was excessively low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then last night I started with the fevers and stuff. But I did not end up in the hospital, as I was able to praise the Lord. I know it's by his power, mm-hmm. his power only, by his grace that you know that didn't happen. I will be back here with my family here for so we can work together or fellowship together again.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here, John, and we give God glory. We pray for your health And we are glad that God always answers our prayers. Pastor Logan, were you given a sign? 805, because he lives, number one, Ross, and Kuros only. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to the blood pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior. All the time we have the song, and it's time the message by Pastor Rice.
Amen. I'm going to sing a brief special here before the message, Sweet Beulah Land. It's a beautiful song. My mom got a new hymn book from church in California, Baptist Church out in California, and they have some of the gospel favorites as well as the old hymns, and just a great singing church. So I wanted to sing this one. And you're welcome to sing it with me, and if you know it. Come kind of home, Sankora country, to which I've never been before. Looking forward to that day, seeing Jesus face to face, It'll be a wonderful day that we're kind of homesick for, but it'll come one day, someday soon. Let us turn our Bibles tonight, Nehemiah chapter 5, as we continue our study of a tremendous book of encouragement and spiritual battles and opposition and how God's people won the victory. Great book of encouragement from God. Nehemiah is right after Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. I had it wrong there. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Nehemiah chapter 5. As we look at God's Word tonight, that God would speak to our hearts, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to read Your Word tonight, to study it, to think upon its message. Lord, we pray that You would speak to us tonight, that You would fill me with Thy Spirit, that I will not just speak forth truths from a heart that is not connected with You, but that it would be truths that would be from a heart that is in love with You and filled with Your Spirit. And that each one of us would desire to not just be here to learn more Bible knowledge or to have more Bible principles to put on the shelf, but that we would truly be in love with You tonight and want to obey Your Word and be in communion with You, not just tonight, but tomorrow morning as well, to all week, that we would stay in sweet communion with You, that You can speak to us, and that we can walk and talk with You daily. We pray You'd speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Nehemiah 5, verse 1, it says, "There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren and Jews. For there were that said, 'We are sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live.' Some also that there were that said, 'We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth.' There were also that said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." So here we have a problem in the new acquainted land of God's people, that they just got out of 70 years of Babylonian captivity. We're now coming to that was in 586. So now 536, 50 years later, that was when they started rebuilding the walls. And then 70 years later, 70 years after 586, so 516 BC is where we are. And they had just gotten to the point where they were making progress. They're about 40 days into it, or 30 days into the rebuilding of the walls. But now, there was another problem. See, the devil knows that if we successfully defeat him in one area by sticking close to God and repeating His Word, that he's going to try a different attack. And that's what we see all through Nehemiah, as we see the devil's opposition to our living for Christ. The devil's opposition. The devil wants us to get discouraged. That if he can get us discouraged, he wins. Why? Because a discouraged people of God aren't going to want to do much for God. A discouraged people of God are going to get despondent and disheartened, and they're not going to serve God. And so so the devil knows his greatest tool in his toolbox, just like we have 15 great tools that we learned about this morning. Well, the devil's greatest tool in his toolbox is discouragement.
Right.
If he can get us downhearted, down on ourselves, or down on life, or down because of circumstances, then he's got us licked, because we're just going to stay in the dumps and not even try to get out. And so here we see every chapter, the devil tries through outside, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian. All these guys are trying from the outside. That didn't work. So then, in the last chapter, we saw that they tried to get him discouraged from the inside. That some started listening. Oh, yeah, hey, they're going to attack us at night, and we're going to be all dead. Oh, woe is us. Well, you know, we're done for. And Nehemiah quickly addressed that problem. He said, no, listen, you're going to fight for you and your family. You're going to fight, and you better not let them in, and you better have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. And sure enough, he gave them encouragement, and he gave them admonition, and sure enough, they got back in the building. Okay? So here is the many different tools of the devil. Now we're looking at some discouragement from circumstances. The devil tries many things with the enemies. We see the enemies of God's people. He tried the enemy route. That didn't work. He tried the inward discouragement from within. That didn't work. And so now he's trying his third one, which is circumstances. What kind of circumstances are you facing in your life right now? Can anybody tell us? Maybe some pressures that you're facing. How many are dealing with financial pressures? Anyone? Okay. Financial pressures. That's a big one. The devil loves to hit us in our pocketbook. If he can hit us in our pocketbook, I drew a one there because that's about what I have in my wallet right now. Okay. But if he can hit us with our pocketbook to discourage us, that's a big one, you know? Oh, the money's not coming in, I don't have or my job's not paying enough, or this is not happening, or that bill is bigger than I thought. So money is one of his greatest circumstantial discouragements. What else? What other type of circumstances does the devil like to get us down with? Evan?
Maybe our pets, if we take care of them instead of reading our Bible and praying.
Okay, yes, he tries to keep us too busy with the things of life, with busyness. Okay, what else? Eunice.
Sometimes our family.
Okay, yes. How many have a perfect family where everybody's saved and everyone's on fire for the Lord? Okay, I'm not just talking about your immediate family. I'm talking about your immediate as well as your extended family. Everyone in your house that you live with, those in your, aunts, uncles, cousins. Anyone have a perfect family like that? What? No one? My hand's not up. No one has a perfect family where everyone's just going on fire for the Lord. Is that ever going to happen? No. That's not reality. Okay? The devil tries to... I was listening to a message. Normal. What is the normal everyday life? Does anybody know what the normal life is?
Work.
Yeah, such a thing.
Okay, this evangelist says it is... Okay, we'll draw your knob. We'll draw this. It's the setting on the dryer. Normal is only the setting on your dryer. Do you know there is no such thing as a normal life? The devil wants us to think, oh, your life is not normal. Oh, your life is so just messed up and dysfunctional and this and that. Well, guess what? There is no normal life. Life is always going to be ups and downs and circumstances and problems and things like that. There is no Christian that's got the normal life, so to speak. Just ask the New Testament heroes of the faith, you know. Did Paul have a normal life? That, you know, everyone just wants to have, you know, getting beaten with rods 5 times, you know, how many want that tomorrow as he goes soul winning, you know, Pastor Logan, I know, there are some that are more spiritual among us. Wednesday, you know, Pastor Logan, I'm sure he wouldn't mind it if he got beat with rods over at Atlantic Adult Day Center, right, as you were preaching, you know. No, it's not something we look forward to have happening to us, spiritual persecution or opposition or even just our family getting in our face about something so petty and not even spiritual in nature, but just petty in nature. You know, we all have that in our life. There is no such thing as a normal life. So we need to realize, hey, the devil's trying to convince us that there is, but there's not. And so everyone has problems. And we need to expect them. What other type of circumstances that do we face?
Education. Yes. You have to go to school.
Okay. Education. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. What pressures does one face?
The test.
Okay.
Yes, the test.
Okay. Tests. Cramming. Studying. Okay. That's mm-hmm. a busy life in itself. Is our students. Okay. Our students have a busy life, but it's part of life. Okay. What other type of pressure does God or does the devil and the world try to bring upon Christians to discourage them? Yes.
Health.
What's that?
Health.
I was wondering when anybody was going to mention that. Health. How does the devil want us to respond to bad news?
Discouragement.
So what does he want us to do?
Be depressed.
Hey, Wellington.
Think of an example is Job, what happened to him. His sickness and different loss,
mm-hmm.
life and things that he had,
mm-hmm.
life and death.
Okay, we can also put on there death then. Death in the family. Mm-hmm. How many have lost someone close to you? Okay. And death, okay? Everyone has lost someone close to them. That's a sad part of life, but it's a circumstance that will happen to us eventually if it hasn't happened to you yet. Okay, health. How should we handle bad news about health? Say you go to the doctor tomorrow and he says, hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have, and you fill in the blank. How do you handle bad news in the doctor's office? Tricia?
When I found out that I had cancer, I mean, obviously it's a big shock, but it's realizing that God is in control.
That's right.
And that God still loved me, and He loved me so much that He would allow that in my life for His honor and glory and for my good.
Mm.
And praise the Lord, I've been cancer-free for 5.5 years.
Amen. He can bring us out of that as well. As we learn the lessons and follow Him. It's good. One of the things that, one of the reasons why we may get health problems is because maybe our focus is a little off. So the Lord knows to refine our focus. He lets the devil afflict us. It's usually the devil that afflicts Christians with health problems, because God does let him do that. As we saw the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years, and it was an infirmity of the devil. It was a direct infirmity of the devil. And Jesus rebuked it. Wouldn't that be great if Jesus could rebuke our infirmities? You know,
right.
That would be wonderful. But He's not here right now. He's here, but He's not here. He's not here in person to do that. But He's here in with us in spirit to meet with us. And at times He does not let it go until we learn the lesson, or we never let it never goes away from us. Until God calls us home to keep us that much closer to God. Remember what God is trying to do with us. He's the potter. We are the clay. He's trying to mold us and shape us into a usable vessel with no holes. Being able to use as a drinking vessel or as a vessel of beauty. But if we've got, if we don't want to get shaped and we keep melting when He's trying to push us up, or if we keep falling over and jumping off the pottery wheel, you know what? Then what's He got to do? He's got to force us at times to stay close to Him so that He can shape us and make us into that beautiful vessel. And sometimes the way He has to force us is by health problems, because there's nothing else that will get our attention than health problems. Okay? So let God do His work. Learn the lesson, stay close to Him, and who knows, maybe it will go into a more of a background stage. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? How else? Any other circumstances we face? Pastor Logan?
How about Romans 8:28?
Okay, so you're offering a solution now.
Well, I thought you could do that.
What's that?
I thought it was a little word.
Okay.
You mentioned how she, as a Christian, you can have to handle their problem.
Okay.
Well, one of the things, I know where you're coming from there, but one of the things that we must also remember, that pressure in itself is not bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We wouldn't have electric in this building tonight if there weren't pressure somewhere generating power.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have gotten here tonight without generating pressure in the engine and automobile to get here. So pressure forces us to react, hopefully, in the way God wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Circumstances of life are not all from the devil, you know. There are some groups and church groups that believe that everything is from the devil, and you know, and everything is an adversary. But you know, that's not really what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there are certain regular pressures of life, and then there are certain things that the devil does throw at us, or God allows. Okay, so not everything is from the devil. Yes, John.
Yeah, you know, thanks for two parts of the things that you asked there. The one was, you know, how are we to respond to the things that, you know, the Bible tells us we are to give thanks to God for all things.
That's right.
His will for us. You know, just like paraphrase there. And then how does the devil want us to respond to those, which you asked earlier, was he wants us to respond as the devil had led Job's wife to say that Job cursed God and died.
Mm.
But that's not what we're going to do.
That's right. That's good. That's how the devil wants us. He wants one less Christian in pot. One less Christian on earth to do God's will. One less Christian who's a soul winner. One less Christian making a difference for God. So he wants Christians to just give in, give up, and do whatever. Okay? Yes, Trisha, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, definitely, Satan works overtime. And the key, though, is just clinging to God, no matter what. And God will use circumstances. He is the master plumber, a plumber potter. And we as the clay, he is going to mold us. The year that I found out I had cancer, my dad was going through late stage colon cancer. My grandson passed away, and within like 2 months after John William dying, I found out I had cancer. And to say that I laughed sounds really bizarre, but I almost was at the point of laughing because it was, okay, what else? What else possibly now could happen? And yet, boy, praise the Lord for God and His goodness, because if there was a human reason to give up, I think 2012 would have been the year that I just gave up, but I didn't because of the Lord. And I just thank God for His strength. And yes, Satan's going to work overtime. I think a lot of times our lives are spiritual battles, and maybe if we look at it that way, it might help us to keep eternity's values in view.
Amen. Amen. So coming back to our passage now, as you pretty much preached the sermon for me already, so I don't have to say anything else. That here, they had three problems. The first problem was that the great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, because they were, that we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live, and they mortgaged their houses, their lands, just to buy corn. Corn was so expensive because of a famine that they had to literally, the Jews, there were certain ones who were the farmers, certain ones who owned the food plots, and they said, wait a second, we've got all the food in our stash. And they all of a sudden saw how much power they had. And so literally, the people were borrowing money for the king's tribute, for the taxes for King Cyrus of Persia. And then they also were now having to buy, they were hit hard in two ways, taxes and food costs. Now, it sounds a lot like today, right? Two places where we are especially hit hard is taxes, food costs. Food costs so much, it's getting costing more these days, and so we have to find creative ways how to get food costs down. Okay, and I know a lot of us have found that there's a store nearby, the 79 cent store. They get in groceries for real cheap, and you know, they're not past the due date yet of expiration, but they're, you know, and it's good food. And that's one way, is by shopping smart, using our brain and our car to save us some money. Okay, and then secondly, we find that now they were having to sell the daughters to be servants first. Now that hits home for me because I have four daughters and one son and a fifth daughter on the way. You know, why do they sell the daughters first? Well, because the sons, they have the more muscles, and so they are indispensable to work the whatever job is necessary so they can make the money to provide. So now the poor families are now having some of their daughters into slavery because of taxes and also now rich farmers. Verse 6. How does Nehemiah respond? Verse 6, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said unto them..." Okay, notice he consulted with himself. Now, say, that's a strange statement. How does one consult with himself? Well, here's how he did it. He said, "Lord, you have put this great burden upon my shoulders of leadership, and this is too much for me. I need your wisdom." He went to the Lord, and he went to his God's word for promises, and he prayed about it, and this is the answer that God gave. A good leader will consult with God. And he will spend time thinking about a problem, and he will bring it before the Lord. And so this is what it means when he consulted with myself. You say, how do you know that? How do you know he went to God? Well, because the answer is biblical, number one. And number two, God solved the problem. Verse 7, that it says, "Ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against him." So he's smart. Nehemiah uses common sense as a ruler, and he uses good governorship. Okay, he said, "Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call a jury, so to speak, of all the people represented in this in Israel at this time, and we're going to bring these farmers or these rich merchants into this courtroom, and we're going to have the people speak to them." Okay, that's the way you can solve problems, by getting everyone together. So if you have family problems, and everyone's always bickering, and everyone's always being petty, guess what? The best way to solve it, have a family meeting. Get everybody together, pray about it, of course, beforehand. Bathe it in prayer. Say, "Lord, you're going to have to show up. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to change hearts in our family." Call a family meeting, get them all together, and start talking. And then you bring them into the room, and you pray, and then lead them right into it. If they don't want to pray, just lead them right into it, and you pray, okay? And start talking about the problem by bringing everybody together until you come to a solution. Verse 8, "And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then they held their peace and found nothing to answer." Here, Nehemiah says, we, speak of him and the people that were there, we've been going out of our way using the funds that God has given us through our jobs, through the, any ways that we can to work. We've been using our extra funds to buy Jewish people out of slavery. And now you are taking advantage of the famine, and you are now charging more for the corn, you're charging more, and now you are putting our fellow brethren, our fellow men, into slavery. How? What kind of answer can they give? The rich merchants? Nothing. They can't really respond to that. Why? Because they had nothing to say. Verse 9, "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye to not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?" Here now they were, because of these rich merchants that were abusing the system and charging more and taking some of the daughters into slavery, now the people were looking and saying, that's God's people. They're the ones that God brought back in from captivity into the promised land again. Yeah, they're selling each other into slavery. They're just, they don't care about each other. And so here Nehemiah, as the ruler, is bringing this before their attention. Verse 10, "I likewise and my brethren and my servant might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury." Okay? Here he's saying it's one thing to sell corn for money. It's another thing to then add interest to that. Okay, you say, who would do that? Who would add interest and compounding interest to corn? Well, greedy people would do that. Verse 11, "Restore, I pray you, to them even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine and the oil that ye exact of them." He's saying, listen, you've got to give back the possessions you took, because they have no way to pay you if they don't have a farm to work. They've got no way to pay you if they don't have a house. They've got no way to do anything but become slaves, which is what you're doing. And he says, not only that, but you're going to give them a hundredth of their money back. So out of every $100, you're giving them $1 back as a refund. Okay? And verse 12, then said they, we will restore them, and we will require nothing of them, so we will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. The official's agreement to Nehemiah's demands was followed by a solemn oath, the seriousness of which was reinforced by Nehemiah's ritual act of shaking the folds of his robe while reciting a curse on those who failed to keep it. The folds of the robe were used as pockets. Nehemiah was comparing his pockets to the rooms of a house and bidding God to evict the disobedient from their houses. The people had ample reason to say amen, which means so be it or surely. This issue of social injustice could have splintered the community and brought about the same consequences their enemies had failed to achieve. But by God's grace, Nehemiah produced a fair conclusion that allowed construction to continue. Verse 13, then I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus shall he be shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. So here we see that God does an amazing thing. He puts the injustice and shame of shame upon the people who were doing it. You know, God has His way of getting justice done. LJ, you need to sit in here, buddy. You can't keep walking out. LJ, you need to obey, okay, or you get a strike. Do you want a strike? You can't have strikes, buddy. So here we see that Nehemiah did well to fix this problem, okay? So we need to work on creative solutions to work on our circumstances. We won't, you know, not every problem will be solved this easily or this well, but there are solutions for this. And a lot of it comes back to our memory verse this morning, First Chronicles 22:6. Does anybody remember B? Does anybody remember what that one said? Said, arise therefore and be what? And be doing. And the Lord be with thee. We need to be doing. You know, these problems don't just work themselves out while we sleep. You know, well, some do when we pray about it. Give it into God's hands. Some work themselves. Health problems, that's kind of out of our hands in many respects. They can work themselves out while we sleep. However, most of the other problems, such as money, such as busyness, such as other things, we have to work. We have to do something about it. We have to arise and therefore be doing, then the Lord be with thee. That we need to apply these principles. Verse 14, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. Here's Nehemiah's testimony. He says, okay, listen, let me share with you what I am doing to help when there's times of stress and situations of leanness, okay? We all have lean times in our family, lean times in our lives where the money's just not coming in the way it should, or here in our church, we're going through one of those times right now, the times of lean times. We need to appropriately respond to the lean times with proper wisdom. Here's what he did. He says, I and my brethren for 12 years have not eaten the bread of the governor. That is, the food allotted to the governors. Such a refusal was a great personal cost to him, as verse 17 and 18 say. He did not want to cost the people in tax money what his food was. Verse 15, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, and also, and I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that were about. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. That's grape juice, okay? Every 10 days, what happens after 10 days of unrefrigerated grape juice? Okay, it starts fermenting, okay? So you kind of have to use it up, okay? So every 10 days he would have freshly crushed grapes, okay? Grape juice. For all this required I not the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Here he said all this food that he had prepared, not just for himself, but for 150 of the Jews, as well as his employees or his servants, he did not charge this in taxes. He instead used his own private funds, whether it be his job as a cupbearer, his money in the bank, that he knew that he was going to have to save up. You know, he was a smart guy with money. He saved up his money from his previous job because he knew he wouldn't be able to necessarily take a salary. Or he was still getting an income from there. Or however he was getting his income, he used that instead of taking it from the people, because the people just couldn't give it at that point. Okay, so we need to be smart in times of leanness. We need to plan ahead. We need to use and do what God wants us to do so that God can bless us and our families. And, you know, be ready to pinch pennies, okay? And to give to, but always be generous to give to God's work. Never hold back your tithe and offering from God. That is not where to pinch pennies. That's not where to save money. That's where when God says, "Will ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings?" Okay, take away God's 10% when He's the one who gave us 100%. That's like saying to God, "God, I know you gave me all this money. I know you gave me this income, but I can't trust you with it. So I'm going to take it all." You know. No, we've got to give God his money, not rob him, so then he can then multiply the rest of our money, our 85%, our 88%, whatever it is, whatever we then, after our tithe, use. So let us learn from Nehemiah tonight, and God will bless us richly in our lives. So how do we respond, in closing, to our discouragement? How should we respond? Anyone? Evan?
Trust in the Lord and pray and read our Bible.
Good. Okay, start the day. When you're rising and be doing, the first thing you should do is read your Bible and pray. Okay, what else? How else should we solve our problems of circumstances? Carrie?
Praise and thank the Lord for what He has done.
Okay.
Praise
and thank Him for what He is doing. You know, we tend to only look at the negative side of life, but we're missing out on all the beautiful things that God is doing over here. Where we get very myopic. Only one single view when we should see it all. Anyone else? Tricia?
As people continually hurt and wrong us, know that God's shoulder is the best shoulder to cry on, and seeking Him for strength and protection.
Yes. Stay out of discouragement from family by praying and continually giving it to God. Anyone else? Yes, Tim?
Just leave it in the Lord's hands. He'll take care of all your plans, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light.
Amen. Amen. That's good advice. All right, let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word tonight. We thank You for the message of it, how Nehemiah had great wisdom from You to be a good ruler, to be a good governor, to help the people even as they're building the wall, as the work was discouraged at this point due to pressures and circumstances. We thank You that You gave him the wisdom to continue on and to address the problems. Lord, we pray You'd help us to address the problems in our lives. Lord, help. We know that none of us is perfect. We know that we all have sinful failures at times, we know that they don't have to be final. And that we can rise up and confess our sins daily and walk with You daily. Lord, help us to love communion with You so much that we will not let sin get in the way, but that we will immediately get out of sin and out of discouragement by running to You all through the day. We pray You just bless and guide our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service tonight. 646, as we close tonight, 646, let's all stand together as we sing, and maybe you need to come. Maybe you're burdened for someone in your family, someone in your life, or maybe you want to pray that God would sort out your week because you know that you have to give your week to Him, or you want to pray for something else. Would you come as we sing 646 and let us bow our heads as we sing the song as a prayer to God tonight.
Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, knights and shall be our home. Through days of preparation, Thy grace has made us strong. And
Bible study, as well as the master clubs, and to encourage and disciple the younger ones in the Lord. And so let us come back Wednesday night to help disciple. As it says in the Bible, the older teach the younger that they might know how to walk with God and to know how to be prepared in this world that we face. It's very, very difficult to live for God. Let us encourage one another on Wednesday nights. Come on out, 7 o'clock. Young people, 6:30 for game time. Let us close in prayer at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you close?
Father God, Lord, we thank You for this good accounting of the things that can befall us in our lives. And we know it is so easy for one or more things to get us completely off track. Lord, we just pray that in this condition of vulnerability, that we can come and call out to You and know that we are not alone in the challenges that we face. And that only through the victory that You would give in these things can we get back on track and continue with our lives. We just ask, Lord, that You would insulate us from as much of this stuff as possible, that we're able to keep the normal setting on the dryer. and we just pray that you would continue to give the blessing for each and everything we seek to do through your power. We just pray that as we come up against these weird challenges and weird combinations of weird challenges, Lord, that you would allow us to rise to a level of almost, say, resourcefulness, that we can deal with these things in strictly like an off-the-wall basis. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us the victory for seeking your face in these things, and that you would keep us individually and us collectively in this church on target for you. And we just pray that there is a mighty work here to be done. This is the time to do it, and we just pray, Lord, that if it falls here, which it has, and it is ours to do. We just pray that you would encourage and that you would abilify us that we're able to reach these challenges. And we just pray that you would continue to guide and uphold us as we would seek your face in these things. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.